We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There have been criminal justice reforms. There's been one in the state a couple of years ago. The president signed one this year, I believe it was, and the ACLU on Friday says there is a way that Louisiana could reduce its prison population by 50% by the year 2025, which seems a long way away, but it really isn't. We're also going to talk about this Lamborghini driver. I don't know if you remember this story that happened, but they were out. He was out on Chapatula Street, gave a girl that got into the car with him a ride. And his bosses, as I remember at Lamborghini, he got up to 118 miles an hour. He crashed into a flood wall. And he killed Christy Lorette, who was 23. Well, he's already out of jail, and we'll talk more about that as the next hour and a quarter progresses. Well, Alana Odom-Zaberg, Executive Director of Louisiana ACLU. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Let's talk about what's happened before, prison reform. Did the state change something 2 years ago, and did the president change something a year ago or about?
Yes, that's exactly right. 2 years ago, the Justice Reinvestment Task Force, which was an intergovernmental partnership between all of our branches of government and the Pew Charitable Trust, came together to study the drivers of incarceration in Louisiana and found that we were spending approximately $700 million a year on incarceration, yet we were still seeing one in three people returning to prison within 3 years, and we were seeing about 60% of our population being revoked or having to go to prison from their community supervision, which is a system that is clearly failing. Mm. So we made a series of comprehensive reforms, a package of 10 bills that went into effect shortly after the session in 2017, which has decreased our overall prison population by about 8%, but more importantly, it's saved the state over $12 million, $8 million of which has been reinvested back into programs, both for victims, but also for community organizations that are trying to serve our population by giving them counseling and treatment and the kinds of things that we know prevent people from committing crime.
I know somebody that's driving around right now or listening at work or online at the radio.com app is saying 8%. Okay. Of those 8%, Alana Odom-Zaber, how many were recidivists? How many did go back to jail?
That's a good question. So I don't know if we have those exact figures of the folks who were released, but I think what we know is that the reforms that were put into place, primarily ones that looked at reducing sentencing and also reforming our multiple offender statute, which is a statute that enhances penalties for people with prior convictions, we know that making significant changes to the way those laws operate actually help people. When you have a system that's as bloated as ours, we're now number two in the world in incarceration, which we used to hold the number one title, which obviously is the, you know, meaning we are the most, one of the most incarcerated states in the world. That means you're actually diverting your most precious amount of resources, our financial resources, toward prison, which is something that wasn't actually serving us very well, wasn't actually creating the kinds of reductions in recidivism that we need. We do know, however, that when you take those funds that you would have otherwise invested in prison and you invest them in prison alternatives that look to help people who have substance abuse problems, mental health problems, and are also in poverty, when you try to help eliminate those underlying causes, that actually helps people stop committing crime.
But if the recidivism rate was one in three in 3 years as a result of the $700 million we were spending on incarceration, and now the number of people incarcerated is 8%, and we're saving $12 billion, do we know for a fact that one in three, two in three are not going back to jail?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not certain of that figure. I don't think the figure is one in three within 3 years now. I think we're at a reduced rate of recidivism now. It's small. But I think the most important thing that we have to realize is if we want to see these reforms work, we have to give them time. 2 years is a good amount of time to see preliminary progress, but we have to actually allow the reforms to remain in place, which is why it's so important that rollbacks of our criminal justice package don't happen, because we need time over many years to see exactly how much we're going to be able to reduce crime and also to see our recidivism rates go down. So what we're looking to do first this session is reform our multiple offender statute. And that is the statute that allows sentences to be enhanced for people who've committed offenses, prior convictions. And what we know is that 3 out of every 4 people who are sentenced under our current habitual offender law have been convicted of low-level nonviolent offenses. Many times these are offenses like theft, which we know is a crime that is usually driven at the very low levels by poverty. And so what we want to have the legislature do this session is to remove low-level nonviolent offenses from those offenses that can be enhanced. And we simply don't want to see people who have been convicted of shoplifting and minor drug offenses serving decades in prison, 20, 30, 40 years, because that's not the way that you help solve addiction. And it's certainly not a great idea for taxpayers to be footing that kind of bill when we could be providing services that help treat people for much, much less money than that. So that's what we'd like to do this session. But looking forward, we know that we cannot create a criminal justice system that is actually beneficial to our society if we continue to lock people up for mandatory life sentences with no opportunity for parole. We are one of only 2 states in the country that have mandatory life without parole for second-degree murder, and we are one in only 6 states in the country that require mandatory life without parole with no opportunity for an individual to go before the parole board for their entire life. So we will provide and keep that person in a cage when they are 80, 90 years old and providing medical care and treatment to that person until they die. So there's that makes us an outlier in this country. It makes us an outlier among our conservative southern neighbors. And it really is an incredible expense on the system that doesn't need to be. I think it's important for the listeners to understand that parole eligibility does not mean that you simply are released on a certain date. It means that once you've demonstrated that you have been rehabilitated, that you have good behavior, that you are contributing to society in such a way where you've either gotten your education, you're now serving as a mentor, you're doing other things that would really demonstrate your character, that you have an opportunity to present that evidence to a parole board. And all we're saying is that at a certain amount of years, whether it be 30 years or something more than that, that someone would have the opportunity to do that. And I think most people would probably look back in their lives and say, if they're old enough, that 30 years ago, they were a completely different person. And that is the case for some of the 4,000 people who are serving life in prison without parole in our state. And I hope that we can get to a place in our legislature where we can try and consider parole eligibility.
Thank you, Alana. I appreciate your time. Alana Odom, Zabair, Executive Director of Louisiana ACLU.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.